Translated heal also is the word to save. Isn't that interesting? The same word for healing is the word for salvation. This morning I'm going to try again to see if you really know who you are. Now, I've brought you through this experience over and over again. And Wayne, you don't get the answer, okay? He knows the answer. We just went over this. For the rest of you, I'd like to ask a very searching question. Who are you? Anybody here, tell me who they are. Child of the King of the Universe. But there's more. Fortunately, there's millions of them. Anyone else know who they are? Lori says she's me. Now, she's very close to the truth. I want something that describes you perfectly. There's not a single person like you in the world. What is it about you that makes you you? See, unique. What makes us unique? Only one of the kind, yes, but what is it about you that makes you one of a kind? Okay, we won't go on much longer. I will just invite you to tell me, when you look into the mirror, who do you see? What do you see? Child of God. Okay, come on. I want the answer. You look in the mirror, who do you see? Say it louder. Pardon? She's very close. It's simple, folks. You see your body. When you look into a mirror, you see your body. That's who you are. Don't ever let anybody else tell you differently. You are that body, and I am this body. And that's what makes us unique and distinct. Now, you can have different names for the body. You can have different titles of the body. But what makes us us is our body. Okay, are we clear on that? Now, some people then get body and soul mixed up. So we need to discuss about the soul. And where is your soul? You see, there are some people who believe that when you die, your soul goes up to heaven. But let's find out what the Bible says about soul. And let's turn to Psalms 103. Psalms 103, where is your soul? Psalms 103, verse 1. Bless the Lord, O my, what's that word? Soul. And all that is within me, bless His holy name. You need to understand Hebrew poetry. English poetry rhymes sounds. Mary had a little lamb, his fleece was white as snow, and everywhere that Mary went, the lamb was sure to go. So go and snow rhyme. You have rhyming of sounds. Well, God knew that the Bible is going to be translated into hundreds of thousands of languages, so He doesn't rhyme sounds. He rhymes ideas. And so here you have a beautiful example of Hebrew poetry. Bless the Lord, O my soul. And then He's going to say something almost like that. And all that is within me, bless His holy name. Soul in me. Verse 2, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all of His benefits. We get benefits in our body. And so He's equating soul with the body. And then we get that in our scripture for this morning. And I want to thank Lynn for finding the anatomy picture. But, beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospers. Again, the Bible is equating our body with our soul, because that's where our soul is. Our soul is in our bodies. That's how we were made. If you turn to Genesis 2, verse 7, we have creation of man. First of all, God makes this sculpture of man. And He's just laying there, just a pile of dust, dirt. Genesis 2:7, the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground, breathed into his nostrils, and man became a living what? Soul. You don't have a soul. You are a soul. Your soul cannot exist apart from your body. And it's like these lights. The only reason why we have light here is because electricity has been connected to a light bulb. If we disconnect the electricity from the light bulb, where will the light go? Out. Thank you. It goes out. It doesn't go anywhere. So when a person is born, little Samuel, he had the body, but he wasn't alive until he was out of his mother's womb and he started to breathe. He became a living soul. He is a soul. And that's the same. And so I hope today that you can see the connection between your physical body and your spiritual well-being, your physical body and your soul, the spiritual dimension in your life. Now, our bodies are the temple of God. This is 1 Corinthians 3:13 and 16. One of the more interesting places that I visited in India was the town of Amritsar. Amritsar is right on the border between India and Pakistan. And I wanted to go see the Golden Temple. And that really is gold. It's surrounded by water, and there's just a little tiny bridge that goes over to the temple. And they pad you down really carefully because they want to make sure that nothing is going to defile that temple. No cigarettes are allowed. No alcohol is allowed. In fact, if you have leather shoes, you've got to take your shoes off. If you have a leather belt, you have to take your leather belt off. Nothing that defiles should go into the Golden Temple. Well, that just fits right in with 1 Corinthians 3:16 and 17, isn't it? Know ye not that you are the temple of God, we are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwells in us. If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy, for the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are. Our bodies are holy because they are also the temple of God. The Holy Spirit comes into our heart. God speaks to our hearts. He speaks to us through our bodies. Now, if you're in 1 Corinthians, go over to chapter 6. A lot of people say, you know, I may not have much in life, but I have my body. My body belongs to me, and I can do whatever I want to with my body. Wrong. 1 Corinthians 6:19 and 20. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and you are not your own? For you've been bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. As I come down 101 past Myers Creek, Pistol River, there is a rock formation. And there is a cave. There is a tunnel through this rock. And I've told Linda, every time I see that, someday before I die, I am going to go through that tunnel and I'm going to come out on the other side. Now, it's possible. Low tide, yes. But what I'd really like to borrow is Wayne's boogie board. I don't want to be swept out to sea. So let's say one of these days the water is above 60 degrees and I get my courage up and I have the lifeguard on duty and my wife ready to dial 911 and I try to get through this tunnel and I've got Wayne's a boogie board there. It's not my boogie board, it's his. And as I go through that, I am very careful not to scrape it against the rocks. I don't know what's on the other side of the tunnel, but I'm careful with it because the boogie board doesn't belong to me. It belongs to Wayne, and because it belongs to him, I should be very, very careful with it. That's the same way with our bodies. They don't belong to us. God has loaned it to us, and we get to use it, but it belongs to him. And there's rules. Oh, Pastor Schultz, don't go talking about rules again. Well, you know, God loves us, and He recognizes that we need to interact with Him and with other people. I once ran into a man. I was giving him Bible studies, and I was excited about the time when, and we were talking about when he was going to be baptized. And so one day he called me up and he says, Pastor Schultz, I decided to baptize myself. Okay. And you know, this is the society that we live in. We don't need people. Give me my little electronic gadgets and I'll be happy at home just sitting there playing with those things. We are losing our capacity to have relationships with other people. It's sad. A relationship with God. And God steps in and He says, okay, I have some things I need to tell you so to safeguard your relationships. First four commandments, safeguard your relationships with God. Last six commandments, safeguard your relationship with people. We are built to love God and to love one another. Okay, then we have the laws to safeguard your immune system. They're on the back of your sermon notes, and it's real easy to remember. All you have to remember is new start. And you've gotten off to a bad start, we'll get a new start. N stands for nutrition, E is exercise, W is water, S is sun, T is temperance, A is air, R is rest, T is trust. None of these things, well, nutrition, you may have to pay a little bit, and our water is pretty good, but these things are basically free. And yet, today we suffer because we don't get proper nutrition. And you know, more and more people are coming down with diabetes. You know why? You don't get proper nutrition. Lack of exercise. What happens when you don't exercise? You have all kinds of heart problems. Your muscles begin to atrophy, and your brain doesn't work as well. Lack of water, headaches, kidney problems, lack of sunshine, depression. By the way, we're getting five days of just straight sunshine here. We need rain, though. Lack of temperance, addictions, lack of fresh air. We need to get out there and breathe this lovely air. If you stay inside and your windows are all closed up, it's scary. Mold, illnesses, you keep breathing in the same air over and over again. Fresh air, lack of rest, stress, obesity, hypertension, brain fatigue. You got to get sleep. But our society is sleep deprived. And then finally, people who are fearful, who are anxious, need to trust in God. So God has been so good to us. He's not only given us 10 rules to safeguard our relationships with Him and other people, but He has given us 8 suggestions of how to strengthen your immune system. And so many of our diseases now are attacking the immune system. If your immune system is strong, you're not supposed to get sick. You won't get sick. We have been built so beautifully that God never intended for us to become ill. It's only when we let our bodies down and the immune system is depressed that we get sick. Okay, so there's consequences when we break these rules. You know what Galatians 6, 7, and 8 says? Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. And, you know, some of us are going around saying, if I'd known I was going to live this long, I would have taken better care of myself. You know, there's consequences. But it's never too late to start living right. I want you to turn now to Matthew 9. And look at this intriguing way that Jesus equates physical health with spiritual health. Matthew 9, verse 1, he entered into a ship, passed over, and came into his own city. What was Jesus' own city? Not Nazareth. Didn't get very far there. Where? No. His own city. The place where he... No. I'm not hearing it. Who said that? Thank you. All right. Rigby's, that's nice. Capernaum was his own city. So he goes to his own city, and behold, they brought to him a man sick of palsy, lying on a bed, and Jesus, seeing their faith. Why doesn't it say Jesus saw his faith? No, their faith. The men that are carrying him believe, and also the man that is sick believes. And he said unto the man sick of palsy, Son, be of good cheer, thy sins be forgiven. Why didn't he just say, pick up your bed and walk? He starts off with his sins. He starts off with the spiritual condition of this man. And behold, certain of the scribes said within themselves, this man blasphemeth. And Jesus, knowing their thoughts, said, wherefore think ye evil in your hearts? For whether is easier to say, thy sins be forgiven, or to say, arise and walk? There is a direct connection between health and spirituality. And Jesus is making that connection. But that ye may know the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins, then saith he to the sick of the palsy, arise, take up thy bed, and go to thy house. And he rose and departed to his house. When the multitude saw it, they marveled and glorified God, which had been given such power unto men. Amazing story. In a letter to John Wesley, incidentally, John Wesley was the founder of the Methodist Church, and there's a lot of Methodist teaching in the Adventist Church. Where do we get all of this connection between health and religion? From the Methodists. This is what he said. It will be a double blessing if you give yourself up to the great physician, that he may heal soul and body together. And unquestionably, this is his design. He wants to give you both inward and outward health. Because where is the soul found? In the body. That's where the soul is. What we take into our bodies through eating and drinking can give glory to God. And we know what this text is. Whether therefore you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. And you know, I'm preaching to myself. We drove past Dairy Queen in Cave Junction. Malts. Did you know they make malts at Dairy Queen? And I looked at that peanut butter malts. Wow, can you think of anything so wonderful as a peanut butter malt? What size do you want? I want the big one. It was terrible. It was terrible. I just got to thinking about this sermon and what I was doing to my insides. I didn't eat it all. Didn't drink it all. But you know, we need to take a careful look at how we live. Look at this quotation. If our physical habits are not right, our mental and moral powers cannot be strong. Habits. Habits. For great sympathy exists between the physical and the moral. Habits which lower the standard of physical health enfeeble mental and moral strength. There's a relationship between what we eat, what we do with our bodies, and hearing God speak to us. Now, a lot of us have this custom of eating our biggest meal just before we go to bed. We have a hard time sleeping or staying asleep, and we wake up and we're not hungry for breakfast. Breakfast should be our biggest meal. Little habits. I saw a lady in Chase Bank, and she lost a lot of weight. And I said, wow, you look good. What did you do to lose weight? And she pointed to her 64 or 32-inch big gulp that she had right beside her. And she said, I changed what I put in there. I used to have that thing filled up with soda. Now I filled it up with water. Wow. She's lost all of that weight. And you know, there's little habits. When I was in the third grade, this was impressed upon my young mind. Third grade, La Sierra Elementary School. And they gave us a little card. And every day we brushed our teeth, we got to put a star there. Lori remembers that too. And every day we comb our hair, we make our bed. All of these habits, we got rewarded with stars. And you know, that's the thing about life. When you pick up good habits, your body says thank you, and you are rewarded with good health. All kinds of health habits we need to change. In India, in Nepal, the biggest problem they have is eating rice. And they will eat this much rice in about 5 minutes. they don't chew their rice. And they say, do you chew water? No. Well, you don't need to chew rice. You just swallow it. Well, the biggest problem is it goes right through you because the process of digestion begins in the mouth, especially with starches like rice. Habits that can destroy us, that can make us sick, that can take years off our life. And, we have Philippians 3. Now, this is a powerful text. This is a text that should give us great encouragement. Philippians 3, 20 and 21. Our conversation, our lifestyle is in heaven. We're just pilgrims here, from whence we also look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile bodies. Now, that's a pretty strong word. I may be old, but I'm not vile. Come on now. Vile means it's falling apart, it's full of sin, full of disease. Okay, look, check out what happens next. God's going to change this that it may be fashioned like unto His glorious body according to the working whereby He is able even to, those two words, subdue. Subdue all things unto Himself. This is the secret for having the change that we need. When you and I are tempted to be irritable, pray that the Lord will subdue that temper. When you and I are tempted to, and I'm preaching to myself, last night I had too much cornbread. Cornbread and milk. That's my Friday night thing. And I ate too much. Now, how can I talk about health when I'm eating too much cornbread? And I've suffered for eating too much cornbread. I should have said, Lord, help me to subdue this. You know, because we're going down to potluck. Lord, help me to subdue my appetite. Because we all eat too much. And we don't eat enough of the right things. And we neglect the spiritual food that we need to have because we're interested in other things. Remember the word subdue. And remember there is a relationship between the health of your body and the health of your relationship with Jesus. And may God help us to subdue those things that would make us unhealthy, subdue those things that would take away our relationship or jeopardize our relationship with Jesus. We want to be changed. We want to become like Jesus. The longer our body is healthy, and the more healthy and vibrant we feel, the closer we are with Jesus. And the closer we are with Jesus, the more instruction and wisdom He will give us and how to keep good care of our health. I have a perfect closing hymn number 316, inviting the Holy Spirit to live in us. And He can only live in us when we are cooperating with Him and subduing the things that don't need to be there. And I get to sing with Tatiana. 316. You can sing with us too. Let's stand and sing hymn number 300, Live Out Thy Life Within Me, 316.
Live out Thy life within me, O Jesus, King of kings. Be Thou Thyself the answer to all my questionings. Live out Thy life within me, in all things have Thy way. By the transparent medium, Thy glory to display. The temple has been yielded and purified of sin. Let Thy Shekinah glory now shine forth from within. And all the earth keep silent, the body henceforth be. Thy silent, gentle servant, moved only as by thee. Its members every moment held subject to thy call, ready to have thee use them or not be. Restless longing, or strain, or stress, or fret, or chafings at thy dealing, or thoughts of vain regret. But restful, calm, and quiet, from bending by. King of kings, be thou the glorious answer to all my questioning.
Dear Father, what a beautiful thought that you can actually dwell in our bodies, in our hearts, in our minds. We pray that we might take a second look at our health, what we eat, what we drink. Are we bringing glory to you? Do we have a temple? Do we have a body that is representative of that which you want to place inside of us? We pray that you will live out your life within us and that there will be no chafings, there will be no grumblings, that you will subdue those things that need to be subdued and teach us how to live. We may have to say no to certain things. Teach us to be able to have good sense. Good sense about how to live, how to eat, and good sense about how to maintain a relationship with you. There's so many distractions, dear Father. Teach us that we have been built for love. Teach us how to love you more each day, and teach us how to love each other more each day. Help us to be more patient, more long-suffering. Help us to be lovers of mankind and to go out in the highways and byways and tell people about the love of Jesus. May our hearts be filled with love so that we can share that love with others, is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.